Amen, people. Amen, church. You believe that? You know, that is a work of the gospel. And the gospel is what we are about in this body. And I don't know if you're new here this morning. This is who we are. We are about the gospel of Jesus Christ coming in and changing our lives, moving us from enemies of God to sons and daughters of Almighty God. And then taken, and then as all good, he's our great parent, right? He then takes and he begins, I've got to do a lot of reparenting in your lives, right? Anybody here need to be reparented? I was my senior pastor when I was full time. He says, the big thing that we do, Martin, is we reparent people. But we reparent them in the image of Jesus Christ, the transforming power of Jesus. And we do it not by our own power, but by the power of the Spirit of God. So that's what we are about. Today we bring to an end the series on the book of Malachi. We started it in October, first weekend in October. And Brian is the one who launched us for those first couple of weeks since I was having surgery. It's been a fun road. But I'm really excited about where we're going next. We're going to be charting a new course or making some significant adjustments within us as a church in terms of where we're going. If you want to get a taste of that, I would encourage you to stay afterwards for our annual meeting, which we're titling Charting the Course. There'll be food, and we're really looking forward to getting into this. So as we wrap up Malachi, though, let me go ahead and pray for Brian, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for just a great, great time where you have invited us into your presence to worship, to have an encounter with you. So, Father, I pray that as Brian comes to bring and to wrap up this word from Malachi to the nation of Israel, but, Lord, also to us, Lord, that you would take and you would make whatever adjustments in our own hearts, that we may reflect your heart in deeper and more profound ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I do have a confession this morning. It's not going to be surprising to you. Well, it might be. You might have a higher opinion of me than I do. But I'm not always the most attentive husband as I could be. I know. Let me know if this scenario ever plays out in your relationship. I'll be doing something, whether it be playing video games or reading something on my phone or doing something. And I'll be doing something, and Tamina will say, hey, Brian, can you take out the trash? Or, hey, Brian, can you go get me a glass of water? Or, hey, Brian, can you go do something? And I'll say, yeah, I'll get to it in a minute. So after a few minutes, she'll say, hey, Brian, are you going to go do that? Yeah, I'll get it in a sec. And then she gets up and does it herself. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever had that. No? Okay. Well, how about this scenario? I think we've played one of these roles, each of us. Parent goes to kid, hey, can you clean your room or do your homework or whatever it may be. So kid says, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah. So then you go, and let's say I'm talking to Joel, my 8-year-old, and I say, hey, Joel, did you clean your room? Yeah, Dad. Okay, did you take the trash out of your room and put it in the trash can? Oh, I forgot. Now, I forgot is a word that is used a lot, at least if you're a kid. And what I've come to realize is I forgot means I really wasn't listening to all that you said because the information that you were giving wasn't all that important to me at that time. So that's what I forgot means. And I know as a parent that's extremely irritating, and it could be as a teacher, as a grandparent, whatever role you're playing in kids' lives. But let's be honest. How many of us have ever said, I forgot? And it's literally, well, not literally. I mean, you don't think this, but I really wasn't paying attention to what you were saying because the information that you were giving wasn't really that important to me. How many of you said that to someone? Or I mean, I forgot. Yeah, we are forgetful people. Either we don't care about the information at that time, or we're just too busy to really pay attention. Either way, we're supposed to remember. In fact, when I put an appointment in my calendar, I generally set 3 notifications. One an hour before the meeting that I'm supposed to be at, one a day before the meeting that I'm supposed to be at, and most times a week before. So I just don't want to forget. In fact, last night, Tamina went to the movies, and I was picking her up from the movies, and I set 2 alarms. Because I don't want to forget. I don't want to be a forgetful person. I want to be remembered as a person that remembers his commitments, that is there for his commitments. I hate when I forget something, but I do it all the time. How about this last scenario? You are so frustrated with someone, whether it be your kid, or whether it be if you're a teacher or a student, whether it be, you know, if you're a boss, someone that's under you, that you are just so frustrated because you've asked them to do things over and over and over again, and so you stop and you boil it down to the bottom line. Elise, please turn in your homework this morning and stay after school and take the tests you missed. Okay, what did I just say to you? How many times have you done that where you're just like, you're so frustrated, or this message that you're trying to get across is so important that you look the person in the face and you tell them, this is exactly what I want you to do. And that's what brings us to this last part of Malachi. Malachi was the last prophet in the Old Testament. In fact, after Malachi, there's 400 years of silence. So these are truly Malachi's last words to the nation and the last part of the Old Testament. And he's boiling it down to, here's the bottom line. Here's what I've said a bunch. Please remember this. So turn with me to Malachi 4. Verses 4 through 6. Malachi 4, 4 through 6. It says, remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, and all the decrees and regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai for all of Israel. Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. Malachi ends his instruction with a very clear statement and a statement that's just kind of like, what? What are you talking about? So I want to start with the clear statement that Malachi makes, and that's verse 4. Remember to obey the laws of Moses, my servant, all the decrees and regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai for all of Israel. Malachi starts us with remember. The idea of the word remember in the Hebrew is not just that you would think about something. Huh. That was a good memory. But it's remember to action. So you're thinking about something and it's moving you to action. So he's saying, remember the laws of Moses, and remembering this should move you to different choices. Now, a lot of times when we remember things, it could be, oh yeah, that was good. I should do that. But it needs to move us to action. Remember earlier in his writings in Malachi that he calls into question the people's motives for their sacrifices. Hey, you try bringing this lame animal to your governor and see what he says. Right? So he's calling into question their motives for sacrifices. He's calling into question, you know, what they're giving. He's calling into question their motives in marriage. He's calling into question their worship. And he's saying, hey, I've said all this and I want you to remember. Obey the laws of Moses that I gave him. Now, the assumption is here, hey, they knew these laws. And the thing is they did. They talked about them all the time. They were raised in it. They were schooled in it. And the thing was, is even though they knew it,
they weren't living it out. We've talked about this before, that in Hebrew culture, wisdom is when you know something, you live it out. Foolish is when you know something and you don't live it out. So he's asking them, hey, be wise in the way that you live. Now, naive is, I don't know any better, and I made bad decisions. The problem is, these guys weren't naive. These guys were playing the fool. They knew what they were supposed to do, and they were choosing not to do it. And Malachi's saying, remember. And now this idea of remembering isn't unique to Malachi. It's throughout the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, the Shema, which is a prayer that is recited even to this day, up to twice a day, says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them around your foreheads. And as reminders, remember, reminders, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Why does he say over and over again, teach these to your children, over, repeat them over and over and over again? Because they were so important and he wanted them to remember. He wanted them to remember. And we need to listen to this. We need to remember the laws of Moses. We need to remember what we are taught through Scripture. Now, there's a lot of laws. There's 613 laws in the Old Testament. Now, is he saying that we need to remember all of these laws? An interesting thing is, so, you know, all these laws are given, right? So, after Malachi, 400 years goes by, Jesus shows up on the scene, and the religious leaders who were trying to follow these laws, who were trying to adhere to all these 613 laws, and they made laws on top of laws on top of laws, right? That's what Pharisees do, is they take a law and they make a law so that they don't break that law, so they make another law. And so there's lots of laws before you can break the law. But they break all the laws because it's all about the law and not about God. So this religious leader comes up to Jesus and he's trying to trick him. Hey, he's a scholar in the law. That's what the Bible says, right? This guy that knows the law is going to Jesus. Do you guys find the irony in that? This scholar of the law is going to the one who gave the law. But he didn't know any better. He thought he did. And he says, hey, Jesus, what's the most important law? Right? What's the one we're supposed to follow? Jesus says this, Matthew 22, 36 through 40, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The Shema right there. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. See, thinking about this, thought moved to action, right? So Malachi is telling him, hey, remember the laws of Moses. And Jesus is summarizing the laws of Moses and everything the prophet says. And what is he saying? What is he summarizing as? Love God, love your neighbor. That's the law and the prophets. That's what he's trying to get them to remember, is they need to love God, put themselves under the authority of God. Is us putting ourselves under the authority of God. It's not just us loving God, it's us loving others. The question comes is what's the motivation? Why do we do this? Do we love God out of fear that if we don't obey him, that he's going to punish us? I surrender myself because I'm afraid of going to hell. Do I love others out of obligation? Well, God told me I had to, so I need to love you, so I love you. How many of you guys have ever had a kid who was like, they did something and you're like, okay, apologies. Sorry. That's what love is. Like, God told me to, so I love you. Is that what God's trying to get at? No, I think of my relationship with my wife and my kids. I hate laundry. I hate doing laundry. I don't know why I hate laundry. Like, it's easy, but it just drives me nuts. But I find myself doing laundry a lot. Not as much as I probably could. I'm not as attentive of a husband as I could be. Tamina's shaking her head. You don't do laundry ever. I don't know about you, but I don't like choir concerts. I have no fun at choir concerts. Like, the songs they choose to sing baffles me. Like, who thought this was a good song? But I've been to a lot of choir concerts. After a long day, the last thing I want to do is come home and cook dinner. And I find myself in the kitchen after a long day making dinner. And now I'm not doing this so that my family loves me. Oh, hey, I'm going to do this. Tamina, I'm doing this because you need to love me more. I'm doing this because I love my family. And I want to serve my family. And I want to put my family's needs above my own. See, if we're constantly trying to appease people to make them love us, we'll never know if we're loved. Did I do enough today to be loved? Did I do enough today for God to love me? Did I do enough for my family to love me or my friends to love me? That's not what it's about. God loves me. God demonstrated his love for me and that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. God loves me. He chose me before the foundation of the earth. He adopted me as his son. He adopted us. And we put our faith and trust in him as sons and daughters. And he loves us. And it's not based on what we do. It's based on who he is. Now, his love for us should compel us. The outworking, the outpouring of his love for us should be that we love him and we love others. My actions should not be shaped by my desire to love. Loving the Lord and loving others isn't our obligation. It's our reaction to the love that we have from God. Remembering the law of Moses isn't just remembering things written down, but it's remembering who God is and what he's done in our life. God wants that, or Malachi wants them to remember that. And here's the thing. Think of the history of Israel. Right? He's writing to the nation of Israel. Think of their history. They walked on dry ground over the Red Sea. God provided manna for them in the wilderness, quail for them in the wilderness. God protected them from their enemies. He put a cloud over their head, put a fire over their head at night. God took care of his people, even when they rebelled against him, even when they didn't do what they were supposed to do. God demonstrated his love by his actions. He provided for them. And he's saying, Malachi's saying, remember the laws of the Lord that were given at Mount Sinai, which is a crazy thing that God showed up on a mountain and he wrote laws out for those people. Demonstrating his love. And he said, Malachi saying, remember the love of the Father and all that he's done in your life. He's the king of the universe, and yet he keeps showing us over and over and over again his love that he has for us. He chose us and adopted us as sons and daughters, which brings us to the puzzling part of this passage. I had to read this a lot. Verses 5 and 6. Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. I get the first part, remembering the laws of the Lord, but He's going to send Elijah. Well, Elijah never died, so is he going to really send Elijah? And what is it like? How do we tie remember the laws of Moses to Elijah's going to come? Like, it's just kind of a weird, awkward. I just didn't understand it. Now, here's some of what I understand. This first part of he's going to send Elijah is partially fulfilled in John the Baptist. I say partially because there's other things that are said throughout Scripture, but I'm not going to deal with stuff that I'm not sure on. I'm going to deal with the stuff that I'm pretty sure on. And if you look at Luke 1:17, it says, he will be the man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He's talking about John the Baptist here. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children. Okay, that sounds familiar. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. So John the Baptist is the forerunner. He's going to come and he's going to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins and baptism. And he's preparing the way for Jesus to come. And we see how this passage matches what verse 6 is saying in Malachi 4. But again, what does it mean, though? What does it mean that the fathers will be turned, their hearts of the fathers will be turned back to the sons, and the son or the kids back to the fathers? Because it's just weird in context. And I don't know, here's what I came up with. I believe what is being said is when we remember the laws of Moses and we remember the ways of the Lord and all that he has done, when we remember that God is our loving Father that looks out for us, our hearts will be turned towards him in love and affection. And in turn, we'll be loving a loving family, not just blood relatives, but a community of faith. I think that's what's being said here. And here's how I understand it. When Malachi mentions the fathers will be turned towards their sons, one person that I read said it's referencing the forefathers of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David. These forefathers that loved the Lord, that their heart's desire is that the people would love the Lord. And when it's referencing the sons or the kids, it's referencing unbelieving Israel. And that when they remember the laws of Moses and when their hearts are turned back to God, they're turned back to their forefathers, which their desire was that these kids would know their heavenly Father. When you look at Luke 17:1, he adds a little extra to that. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. What I know is that our love for others is a direct result of the love relationship we have with God. Our love for others, how we can love others, is a direct result of our love relationship with the Lord. Let me say that one more time. Our love for others, our ability to love others, our ability to love our kids, our ability to love our spouse, our ability to love friends and neighbors and coworkers is the direct result of our loving relationship with God. If we have a hard time loving others, it is most likely because we are struggling to love God and or understand the love God has for us. As we remember the ways of the Lord, our hearts will be turned to the things of the Lord. And the love for God and others will be the outcome. It has to be. It'll be the outworking. Because the Spirit of God lives in us and is trying to transform us and change us into His image, into His likeness. And our ability to love comes from Him. Think about these. These are the last words that are spoken from God for 400 years. The last words in the Old Testament, the last words to the nation of Israel. He wanted them to remember and be drawn towards loving God and others. Which brings us to today. When we evaluate our life, when we look back at the history of our families, do we remember the ways at which God intervened? Remembering isn't just thinking, but again, moving us to action. And what I want to do is I want to give us a few minutes. I think it would be really weird for me to stand up here and say, we need to remember what the Lord has done in our lives and not give us time to remember what the Lord has done in our lives. So what I want to do is I want to give us an opportunity now, and you can do this as a family, you can do this on your own, but I want you to think through what the Lord has done. How has the Lord intervened into the history of your life? I've got a couple questions that you can ask yourself. How has God provided for you or your family? Oh, I could tell you stories of how we didn't have, and then all of a sudden we had, because God intervened through people to provide toiletries, to provide food, to provide money at just the most opportune times. It's like, wow, Lord, thank you. How has God provided for you and your family? How has God protected you or your family? How has God grown you and your family's faith? How has God encouraged you or your family when it needed it most? So what I want you to do is I want you to think back. And I want you to think about, man, how has the Lord intervened in my life? And like I said, you can do it as a family. You can do it on your own. I'll close this time in prayer. But I want you to just remember what the Lord has done. All right? Go ahead. Hey, Connor, why don't you throw on some music, and that way it's not so quiet in here. I know for me, when I think of remembering all the Lord has done in my life, it makes me think of all the times that I've sat and watched my wife just help my kids think in a more biblical way. She does such an awesome job of just teaching our kids about the love of the Lord. You know, I think we had a conversation somewhere between Pennsylvania and New York in the car, just talking to our oldest kids about just God growing our faith and wanting to be people of faith that don't just do things because it's easy, but because it cost us something because of our love for the Lord. It was just a time that God intervened in a car between Pennsylvania and New York. It's just important for us to remember all the ways the Lord provided. I was going to Bible college, and I was on a payment plan that every month I had a certain amount I had to pay. And generally speaking, I would go to pay, and it would already be paid for me. My sister, I don't know why, but she would send money all the time to me. It was a way that God provided, and it was like, whoa. So I can just look back, and it's so important for us to remember, because I think what happens when we forget, we become calloused. And when we remember, it softens our heart, which gives us the ability to love others. Because a lot of times the reason that we don't love, the reason that we hold grudges, the reason that our hearts get hardened towards people is because we are focused on what they're doing, not what God has done in us. See, a lot of times when there's strife between two people, when there's strife between friends, between family members, it's because we have forgotten what the Lord has done in us. Remember, our ability to love is directly related. Our ability to love others is directly related to our relationship with the Lord. When we don't accept what He's done in our own life, it limits our ability to love others. when we don't see ourselves as sons or daughters of the Most High God that are forgiven of much, it limits our ability to love others well. And that's the gospel, right? The gospel is God came into our life. God saved us from our sins and made us a new creation. Our ability to love then is because He loves us. And He's done so much for us. And so we can forgive. Why? Because we've been forgiven. We can love. Why? Because He's loved. We can be patient. Why? Because He is the model of patience. We can be kind. Why? Because it is His kindness that leads us to repentance. We don't keep record of wrong. Why? Because when we ask for forgiveness, He casts them, our sins, as far as the east is from the west. He forgives. When we are not patient, it's because we forget what the Lord has done. When we are not kind, it's because we are not living out the ways of the Lord. When we remember other people's wrongs, I had a buddy this week, I was talking to my mentor, and he was like, Brian, anytime we remember a negative, we're in trouble. Anytime we're sitting there and we're keeping score, we're in trouble because we are not loving well. Instead, we are like, hey, I deserve, which is not loving at all. So the second response to this sermon has to be, we have to evaluate how we are doing at loving others. How is our heart hard towards someone? Why is our heart hard towards someone? Here's three questions or three prayer pieces that I want you to pray, or whatever God's laying on your heart. But God, what am I not believing that You've done in me? Because remember, when I don't understand who I am, it's going to limit my ability to love others. So God, what is it I am not believing that You've done in me? The second one, God, why am I struggling to love as You have commanded me to love? God, why is my heart hard towards this person? What is that saying about me? Not what is it saying about that person? Paul says, have this very attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Put others first. Throughout Scripture, it is talking about us being a loving people, and we have to evaluate. So part of the remembering is also evaluating, hey, how am I doing at living in obedience? So I want to give you some time on your own. I want you to pray through these three questions. Or if there's other things that God is stirring in you, I want Him to work. So go ahead. Connor, I want you to throw on music again and just spend some time praying. I know for me as a parent, as a husband, as a coworker, as a friend, there are just so many times where it's easy not to be loving. It's easy to keep record of wrong. It's easy to not remember what the Lord has done. These were the last words that Malachi had for the nation of Israel. These were the last words in the Old Testament. And I think they're words that you and I need to listen to. Remember what the Lord has done. And that should compel us to love parents to their kids. When I struggle to love my kids well, it says something directly about my relationship to my Father. It should compel our kids to want to honor their parents. And as believers, there's no room for hard hearts, because it's a stepping stone, it's a footstool for Satan to come in. And that's how he ends it, or I will put a curse on the land, and that curse is that separation from him. So if we are not putting our faith and trust in him, we will be separated from him. And that's what he's talking about there. One of the questions asked was, Elijah shows up at the transfiguration. There's also ideas of Elijah being one of the two witnesses in Revelation. There's a lot of stuff in that. And the reason I don't go into it is it would take a long time to unpack it. And so is that in there? Yes. But the reason I didn't go into it is I don't know that it was pertinent to the fact that we need to love well. God will take care of the end. What matters is what we do now. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you loved us so much. Lord, thank you that you've given us the ability to love. Apart from you, we cannot love well. God, I pray that we would remember your ways. Remember all the things you've done, how you've intervened in our life. God, I pray that we would be a people marked by love, marked by kindness, marked by patience. And God, where there is bitterness, Father, I pray that your Spirit would convict and melt away hard hearts. Work in us, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.